Matthew chapter 1, the first 17 verses. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Amen.
Well, I trust you had a good Thanksgiving time with your family, and now it's 4 weeks till Christmas, and you know, this holiday time is a time with families and even with church family. So thank you, Eric and kids. We're going to do that each week. It's fun to celebrate with our families. You know, every family has its own traditions, of course, and its own history. How many of you have done a little family research on your families and backgrounds or whatever? Yeah. Let's do a quick survey here, whatever. How many of you are, let's do nationalities. How many of you are Scandinavian? Oh, wow, they raise their hand high. That's good. How about German? Okay, how about non-European from somewhere else? Okay. How about where you were born? How many of you were born in Minnesota? Okay. How about another state? That'd be me. How about another country? Okay. Manet in Mexico. McHugh in Swaziland. Where were you born? Were you born in Russia? Yes. What? Czech Republic. My wife was born in Spain. Japan. She was born in Japan. All right. How many of you, your parents are from the same nationality and origin? You're kind of all together. You know, you're both parents were whatever. Okay, how about mixed? Your parents, you kind of come from a, okay, good. Well, today we're going to talk about family trees. You know, they're kind of fun. They're interesting. They tell really a lot about us, about who we are, where we've come from, maybe some patterns, maybe some things that are true about us. We're going to look at Jesus' family tree. My Several of my relatives have done some good research on our family. Joseph Loomis came from England to Boston in 1642. I am the 13th generation here in America. And if you are a history buff, we could be part of the DAR, the Daughters of the American Revolution. We had people that fought in the American Revolution on the colony side. My wife, similar background, she also had family come over very early, and people fought in the Revolutionary War. Maybe you're familiar with one of her ancestors, Betsy Ross. She still has Rosses in her family. And so our families go back a long ways. Well, you know who also is interested in family trees is God. They show up in the Bible quite a bit. Genesis has 9 different genealogies. First Chronicles has 17 chapters with lists of family trees. Ezra and Nehemiah record names of people 9 different times. And then our passage today is with Jesus' family tree. It's how Matthew starts. It's how the New Testament starts. I don't know about you, but sometimes when there's lots of names like that, you tend to just skip over them, right? A bunch of people or whatever. Thank you, Tim, for reading all 42 names. He did a good job, didn't he, or whatever. You get extra dessert today at the fellowship meal, and so that's good. But why would that even be in the Bible? The following verses after these are Joseph and Mary. So Matthew is going to start his Christmas story with all these names. Why would he do that? Now, if I were thinking about Jesus and his family tree, I would have made King Jesus' family tree just spectacular. But as we're going to see, there's some interesting people in Jesus' family. But here's the point. I'll tell you right from the beginning. Here's the point I believe Matthew's teaching us, is that to be in the family of God, to be in Jesus' family, is to be in a genealogy of grace. Grace is what he's going to talk to us about. We need grace, right? Grace, God's unmerited favor, a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. God gives it to you. We're going to look at 5 different illustrations of God's grace. Here's the first one. Grace to the Jewish race. He's going to start out with 2 big names in Jewish history, David and Abraham. David is mentioned 5 times in this genealogy. David, of course, is Israel's greatest king. And to be the son of David is not just means you're related to David, but it's really a title, and you can see there, the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, that's an Old Testament word. Christ, that's a New Testament word, means the same thing. Anointed one, the one they were waiting for. Son of David. God had promised. Here, let me read the promise that God had made to David in 2 Samuel. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Well, how's that? Because David didn't live forever. He died. And the next king, Solomon, well, he didn't live forever either. None of them live forever. The promise is talking about Jesus. Grace to the Jewish race. Matthew traces it through all the way back. Well, we'll see further, but back to David. It's interesting, in Luke's Christmas story, he also has a family tree, but it's different. And some people say, well, wait a minute. It's different. How can Jesus have two different family trees? There's errors in the Bible. Well, what are they doing? Come on, Matthew and Luke, compare notes. Get it right. Well, there's an easy explanation. Matthew is going to trace Jesus' family tree through Joseph. Luke traces it through Mary. So yeah, there are some different names. Not error, not contradiction, just like you and I do. We can trace our family through our fathers, through our mothers. Let's go back further than David to Abraham, father of the Jewish people. Do you know that Sunday school song? Father Abraham had many sons. Had Father Abraham. That thank David. Wow, he knows that song. Thank you. Back to the very first founder, the father of the Jewish faith. Back in Genesis 12, God made a covenant with Abraham. He says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. How is that? Through your family, through somebody Jewish, the whole world will be blessed. Well, Paul makes it very clear in Galatians 3:16. He clarifies. He says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed, singular. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but, and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. It's Jesus. Now, most of us probably wouldn't start the Christmas story way back when to Abraham, but that's where Matthew starts it. Grace to the Jewish race. Well, God's grace is just getting going. Let's talk about God's grace to the human race. If you are not Jewish, the other category the Bible puts all the rest of us in, we're called Gentiles. There's a couple Gentiles here. Where's Rahab? She was a Canaanite, not a Hebrew. She was an outsider. Ruth. Ruth is another foreigner. She's a Moabite. What difference does that make? Well, not looking good for Moabites. In Deuteronomy 23, no Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. So Ruth's not really a good candidate to be in the genealogy because she's not only a Gentile, but she's cursed at birth. She's from the wrong side of the tracks. She is an outsider. She doesn't belong in this family. But here she is. If you know the story of Ruth, it really is a story of grace. And if you don't know the story of Ruth, right after the worship service, as always, we have Sunday School for Kids and Youth and Adults, our Christian learning class. We are going to spend the next 4 weeks in the book of Ruth. And I won't spoil the story here, but it's a great story. It's a romance, and it's a story of God's grace, how Ruth trusts God and is included in the family tree here. In fact, if we don't have Ruth, we don't have Christmas. We have Ruth. Most of the genealogies in the Bible were used to show that the families were pure. That is, they were all Jewish. That no Gentile blood sort of contaminated the family tree. But in Jesus' case, Gentiles crisscross the generations here all the way. Why is that important? Well, Jesus' family tree shows us that everybody is welcome in the family of God, right? Nobody is outside the kingdom of God because of your nationality, your ethnicity, where you were born, what country. It doesn't matter. You can be Scandinavian and German and English and Latino and Asian and African. You can even be from Iowa. It doesn't matter, right? It's God's grace. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. That's what we sing. Jesus welcomes. It's a genealogy of grace to the Jewish race, to the human race. Let's keep going. You've also got grace to sinners. In Matthew's list, he lists four women besides Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, that's very unusual. In fact, almost scandalous, because to do a proper Jewish genealogy, there would be no women. Sorry, ladies. It would be all men. So why does he include women? It's got to be more than just biological, but I think it's theological. It's there for a point. Well, what kind of women did you have? Maybe he talks about the matriarchs, like Sarah, the wife of Abraham, or Leah, or Rachel, or... No, he doesn't pick those women. Well, he can't really pick, he's tracing it or whatever, but we have women like Tamar, and Rahab, and Ruth, and Bathsheba. Where is Rahab? We mentioned her. Rahab, we go back to Genesis 38 for her story, and it's not a nice story. Rahab does something scandalous in her time and in our time as well. She hatches a plot to bear a son by her own father-in-law. So she dresses herself up as a harlot. She seduces her father-in-law, Judah, and she becomes pregnant and gives birth to twins, Perez and Zerah. So who's in Jesus' family? Well, Tamar, sorry. Who's in Jesus' family? Well, for starters, it includes people who are involved in prostitution, deception, and incest. And not only Tamar, but her two sons. All right, Rahab. Rahab is mentioned 8 times in the Bible, 6 of them with a description. Rahab the what? The harlot. Prostitute. She not only dressed like a prostitute, she was a real prostitute who worked the sleazy streets of Jericho. Probably ran the boarding house there in Jericho. But by faith, she showed favor to the two spies that were sent by Joshua. They were scoping out Jericho before. Remember, they walked around the walls of Jericho and it came tumbling down. She was saved. And not only that, she becomes part of the family of Jesus. She becomes the great-grandmother of King David. We also have... I wonder if I have another verses. Nope. We also have David and Bathsheba. David was, of course, a great king, but he also was kind of a great sinner. If you remember the story, he lusted after this woman, Bathsheba. He slept with her, got her pregnant. Oh boy, tried to cover it up, killed her husband Uriah. It was a big scandal and a big mess. And sure enough, God judged David and Bathsheba. And the baby died. But then God's grace prevailed, of course, and they had another baby, a boy. His name was Solomon, the next king. Now, I want to be clear. The sinners in this list are not just women. They're men, too, right? Abraham lied, Jacob was a deceiver, Judah was immoral, Ahaz was a wicked king. In fact, all these people in Jesus' family tree are sinners, right? Do you have people in your genealogy that you're kind of embarrassed about. You'd rather not have them in there. Oh, yeah, they're part of our family, you know. If we want to boast about our family, then we talk about Betsy Ross. Yeah, we're part of our kids, you know, proudly. Betsy Ross is our... But also, I have to admit, in our family, there is a group that we're not very proud of. And that's a group called the Loomis Gang. They were a gang of horse thieves. There's a couple books by them. This will be available in the lobby afterwards if you could. No, it's not. But this is my book. But the Loomis Gang was in where kind of where I'm from in central New York. I was born in Syracuse, New York. Time of the Civil War. And the fact is, they knew another gang that's a little closer to here. They knew the Jesse James Gang. Loomis Gang, at the height of their group, was a group of over 200 people. And they were not a very good... Now, this is 150 years ago, so don't get too alarmed. Pastor Greg, what's he going to do? But we are related. The gang was led by this guy, George Washington Loomis. He went by Washington, or Wash for short. And they were quite the terror, and eventually they were caught. And what do you do with horse thieves? You hang them. That's what happened. They were stealing horses from the Union Army, painting them, and then selling them back. Well, the Army eventually caught on to that and didn't like it. And the local people there in upstate New York tried to capture these folks, but they just couldn't. But then when the U.S. Army got involved, they eventually tracked them down and hung them. Now, what's the point? The point is, if Jesus has sinners in his family tree, then you and I can too. Right? Jesus came not for those who believe that they were already good, but they realized they were sinners and needed a Savior. So have you ever lied? Have you ever committed adultery? Maybe not, but Jesus says if you even lust in your heart, it's just as bad. See, we all of us here need God's grace because we're sinners, right? The angel tells Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. Every single person in the list is a sinner. Every single name, well, except one, Jesus. Here's what Scripture says. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's what we need, God's grace. And that's what his family tree, his genealogy is all about. Grace to the Jewish race, grace to the human race, grace to sinners. All right, let's keep going. Grace to failures. Now, why do I say this is failures? He's going to bring up the exile or the deportation or the captivity. The Bible uses a couple of different words for that. Prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah had preached to the Israelites over and over and over again to repent, to change their ways, to come back to God. God's going to do something if you don't. And they basically just kind of ignored it. Well, eventually, something did happen. The Babylonians came, and we know exactly when that was, 586 BC. They came and captured and destroyed Jerusalem, but They didn't set up shop in Jerusalem. What they did was they took all the Jews, or almost all of them, back to Babylon, hundreds of miles away. And the Jews were no longer in their homeland. And they had a sense, well, of failure. So significant is this, is that Matthew uses it sort of as a history lesson. We won't go through all this. But as you can see, he says, well, there were 14 generations from Abraham, who had no land, to David. He was the king of the promised land. From David to the exile, where they lost their land. And 14 from the exile to the Messiah, back to the homeland. In fact, they were only in exile 70 years, and they did come back to the promised land. But during the exile, I'm sure they had thoughts of, wow, we've really blown it. We've lost our land. We've lost our king. Maybe we've lost everything. God's promises. What's going on? And they felt like failures. And we were even warned multiple times. Truth is, you and I have failed too, haven't we? Like Israel, we've failed as a nation. God didn't choose a perfect nation like Israel from which Jesus to be born. No, Israel had failed over and over again. But even in their failure, God's grace was still there. But that's kind of the history of our country too, isn't it? I think the song America the Beautiful says it well. God shed his grace on thee. I think of that song, when we sing that song, as both a confession. Yes, God, you did send your grace on us. You shed your grace. And even a request. And God, we still need your grace. It was in the past, but we still need it in the present and the future. God, we need your grace. You and I have failed as individuals too, right? We've blown it. We've sinned. We've done things wrong. Sometimes even at Christmas, where it should be joyful and great celebration, but it can be a difficult time. Maybe it brings up bad memories. Or maybe, you know, it's at the end of the year and you're thinking about this past year and you think, well, you know, I tried a new job, or I tried to change a habit, or I've done something, and it just didn't work out. And you feel like a failure. Or maybe your celebration with your family, which should be really fun and great, something happens. And it could be stressful. And then you lose your cool. And you say something or you do something that hurts somebody's feelings. And you go, oh gosh. And you feel like a failure. Here's God's grace. Grace to you and me, where there's forgiveness, where there's reconciliation, where there's our sins, like though they used to be like scarlet, they will be white as snow. We got snow this week. Did you see that? Did you have to shovel some of that? But it is pretty, isn't it? It just covers everything. That's God's grace. Grace to the Jewish race, God's grace to the human race, to sinners, to failures. One last group of people. Grace to the unknown. You know what's interesting about this group of names? Yeah, neither do I. Nothing. All the other names in the genealogy we know something about. You can look them up in the Old Testament. And only the first two here, Shealtiel and Zerubbabel, we know, and Joseph and Mary, we know. But the 10 names in between, we know nothing about, because they never show up anywhere else. You can look them up in your Bible concordance, and this is the only verse they're in. These are the unknown people, the little people, the John and Jane Does of the Bible. We don't know anything about them. They're on the fringes. They're the unimportant, the unknown, the common. Well, I think common. We just don't know anything about them. Have you ever felt that way? I'm sort of an unknown. I just sort of blend in. I'm just a parent. I'm just a student. I'm just an employee. I'm just a neighbor. Does anybody really know me? Does anybody really care? God, maybe you've forgotten about me. I want to tell you, God the Father knows every person in his family. And he knows them by name. He knows you. He loves you. He's glad you're in his family. So when it comes to things like how you feel about yourself, your self-image, your confidence, the joy you have at Christmas and all through the year, your security and how you... that really changes it. I can be a nobody to the world, but I'm a somebody to God because I'm in God's family. These people, they didn't know they were going to be in the family tree of Jesus. They're just living their life. And maybe nobody paid attention to them. But I think that's one of the reasons names are in the Bible a lot, because people are important to God. And he knows every one of them. And he doesn't want us to forget them. And here they are. Well, Jesus' family tree tells a lot about Jesus, about who he is. And it's not only genealogy, it's theology. I've tried it not to just be history. Here's a bunch of names. But it's a sermon. He's included these for us to know something. So let me conclude this way. Just wrap it up here. Three short things, facts about God here. One is the Father always keeps his word. God made promises right back to Abraham, to David, to Israel, to you and me. God always, like Eric told the kids, there's hope because God makes promises and he always keeps his promise. What God promised so long ago, he didn't forget. He was working. He was doing it. All the way along, it was being worked out. God always keeps his promises. Second, to be in the Father's family, it's open to everybody. Right? It shows us that the Savior came not just to share the glory of our race at our very best, but to redeem us at our very worst. That although none was sinless, none was hopeless either. There was always God's grace. And so there was Jesus. He associated with men and women, Jews and Gentiles, sinners, losers, nobodies, the people that were rejected by the world, he accepted. That's the family of God. And here's the glory of this family. Last little point. What we've already talked about. It's the grace of God. Jesus' family tree includes people that we know and perhaps even people like us. But how do you get into Jesus' family? Well, obviously we can't go back in time and have our names in here. But the good thing about a family is it keeps going, doesn't it? We can go into the future. We can be part of Jesus' family tree. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, sinner, failure, forgotten, there's a place for us. Here's how John puts it in his opening chapter of his gospel. He says, "To as many as received Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." That's how you get into the family of God, right? What we're talking about this whole month is Jesus. I trust that you know the grace of God in your own life. And you can include yourself because God promises you're in the family of God, of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we do need your grace. Thanks that you give it so freely. And thanks that you gave us many signs and warnings and promises that it would be wrapped up in Jesus, so that when Jesus finally came, we wouldn't miss him. And so help us today, and especially these next times we're together, to celebrate Jesus, to remember Jesus, to prepare our hearts to do that here at church and at home and wherever we're at. So Lord, thank you again for your grace. We love you and trust you and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.